Today's episode is about Pilates and how physical therapists are successfully integrating this new technique into their practice.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Jeff Worrell back with another edition of PT Talker. Hello, everybody. It's been a great summer so far, and we're so thrilled and happy that you're joining us. Our topic today, I think you'll find very interesting. I want to start out by saying, you know what? Is physical therapy all about ultrasound and cold packs? I've got a guest today that doesn't think so. She's actually doing other things, and I'm very happy to have with me Dawn Marie Ikes. She's a physical therapist out in Southern California. She's the co-owner of Core Conditioning. Dawn Marie, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm very, very pleased to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. Now, when I started out, would you say that physical therapy is just about ultrasound and cold packs?
Absolutely not.
Of course.
Go ahead.
Well, I knew you would say that. That's right. Of course, why we invite you on the show, because you are someone that is actually knee-deep in several other things, but the thing that caught my eye was Pilates. How did that all come about?
Well, I started out as a physical therapist in a generic orthopedic setting, and I actually had an injury of my own. And as a result, the therapist that I went to had suggested that I try to do some Pilates training because I had just had a baby and was having some issues with stabilizing my back and my core, and that was affecting the shoulder problem I had. And after, I would say, two sessions of doing it on my body, I recognized that it was able to give me input into some areas in a way that I'd never been able to get input before, to be able to strengthen and balance some areas of weakness and some alignment issues I was having after having a baby. And that was really the beginning of my experience with Pilates and how I moved forward. I immediately decided that I wanted to learn more about it and began taking regular private sessions. And then after about 6 months, decided that I just couldn't wait any longer. I had to really learn how to become a teacher of this amazing work, because it really had a lot of direct correlations with neuromuscular reeducation and appropriate feedback to the body in a way that was not quite so challenging. I mean,
yeah.
It was challenging on a multitude of levels physically, but it wasn't challenging to get the input, which a lot of times we're constantly struggling with. As we're strengthening people, how do we reinforce posture and alignment and get the right proprioceptive input at the same time?
Right. Now, let's just for our listeners, you are a certified Pilates instructor, you are a physical therapist, and you also teach at a couple of the universities there in Southern Cal?
Yes. We teach a comprehensive Pilates instructor program at Cal State Northridge's physical therapy program.
Uh-huh.
We're actually a part of their curriculum for their third-year students. So their students are graduating with a comprehensive Pilates education and training. So they're actually coming out into the field as physical therapists with a Pilates certification should they continue to do their internships and then take the PMA certification exam.
Would that be unusual?
That is not usual at all. There are small classes in quote-unquote Pilates around the country in a handful of different PT programs, but they're typically a semester long. They're learning a handful of exercises versus the entire repertoire. And what we found is, at least here in California, we're seeing such an increase in the holistic wellness model in a lot of the orthopedic outpatient settings, and that Pilates training and background is becoming more and more important to employers because they want to diversify their offerings. They want to be able to offer more than just traditional Pilates. And it is very difficult to find physical therapists that are comprehensively trained in it,
mm-hmm.
although there are more and more with each passing year as Pilates education becomes more in the forefront of PT practice.
Right. Now, for those that don't know, what would be the best way to describe what Pilates is as it applies to physical therapy?
In 5 words or less, correct?
Sure.
Just kidding. Well, basically, to put it in a nutshell, The way the Pilates method works is it works by conditioning the whole body with a particular emphasis on correct alignment, muscle balance, body awareness, and movement efficiency while you're going through the exercises. And what you get is an entire balance throughout the musculature and conditioning that decreases their chances of injury because they're already reinforcing proper posture, they're already reinforcing proper alignment as clients are then going through and working with flexibility and strengthening exercises within their body, which we like because then we can carry it over to activities of daily living and just having better balance in their body.
So do you believe then that Pilates should be a part of every physical therapy clinic that is dealing, let's say, with the orthopedic diagnoses or the orthopedic patients?
I do. My personal philosophy is that you really do want to have a mixed bag of tools that you can utilize. By all means, I am sure not every single person in the world with an orthopedic injury will get the maximum benefits from Pilates. They may get other types of benefits depending on how their body takes strengthening exercises and really how they learn. I mean, we're all different students from that perspective of life. You know, people have different ways that they learn. Some people are more kinesthetic. Some people are much more verbal. But for the most part, I would say that it would only be an advantage to have that type of a background and training in a physical therapy clinic because it's such an amazing tool. There is so much diversity in what you can do with the different pieces of equipment for a variety of different injuries, not just orthopedic. Orthopedic clinics, I think, have the greatest utilization of a multitude of the pieces of Pilates equipment and the exercises, but we treat neuromuscular dysfunction, we treat MS, we treat people that are post-traumatic brain injury, post-stroke. There are so many applications of this work to particular different populations. What I like is that it's not limiting in how you can use it and what type of diagnosis you can use it with.
Okay. So what we try and do at PT Talker is we will try and give our listeners something that they could possibly utilize in the clinic tomorrow with their next patient. Now, I understand Pilates uses equipment. Is that correct?
It does. It also uses some mat-based exercises
okay.
that do not require equipment, but yes, it does.
So imagine your typical patient that that you could describe coming into your clinic that you might be able to use some kind of a mat exercise and that someone listening to this podcast could then use tomorrow in the clinic. Can you give us an example of how you might help somebody and then how that relates to whatever traditional modalities or exercise or whatever that you might have done as well?
Yes, absolutely. One of the first things we teach each and every one of our clients, whether they be a physical therapy client or a general fitness client that is coming in to work with a Pilates instructor, one of the very first things that we teach them that is directly related to the Pilates method is how to properly breathe and then how to integrate breathing properly with connecting to your core.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we look at with them is how are they breathing in their body? Do they tend to be a chest breather? Are they breathing a lot with their accessory muscles? Or are they actually able to get some breath down into their lungs? And what we call this is posterior lateral lung expansion or quote-unquote Pilates breathing, where you're really looking at breathing into the back side of the rib cage and the lateral aspect as you inhale, and then as you exhale, letting it kind of draw down without your belly pooching out. So an exercise that we do often with clients is we have them place their hands on the sides of their rib cage with their thumbs wrapping around towards the back of their spine and then their four fingers coming along the front of their rib cage.
Okay, I'm following along. I'm doing
okay,
this with
good.
You.
So what I'm going to have you do is just go ahead and take a deep breath in
mm-hmm.
and notice whether or not the front of your rib cage tends to pop forward more than the back and lateral aspect. And then as you exhale, you want to feel the pinky border of your fingers kind of draw more down towards your waistline and then your thumb would rotate up. So as you inhale, your thumb's going to drop slightly down towards the waist with the pinky border of your hand moving out to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you exhale, the thumb is going to draw up a little more upwards as the side of the hand draws down. So what you're really looking for is, am I breathing into the back of my rib cage? Am I able to do this without having my belly raising up and down? Can I isolate my breath into the back of my lungs? because what this is doing is really creating more thoracic mobility without having to do anything else but just breathe properly. And we find that thoracic mobility, when it is restored and maintained, helps on so many levels, not just with connecting to the core, but it helps with upper extremity work. People that have poor thoracic mobility have a hard time lifting their arms over their heads or out to the side. So we can take something as simple as breathing and reteach someone how to breathe with this method while they're exercising, and it's going to improve their thoracic mobility without them having to do any slew of exercises. Of course, we like them to do the exercises too, but just by bringing the awareness to the breath. And we teach our clients that although this is a Pilates method of breathing, you can utilize these concepts with any exercise or strengthening program. If you think about breathing properly, and then the next exercise, which I'm going to take you through, which is really connecting to your core. So what you're going to do next is, once we've established what type of breath pattern they have and what they need to focus on or work on to breathe a little bit better, we'll then lie them down on a mat or on a treatment table with their knees bent, a supine hook lying position. So you want to be technical from a PT perspective. Mm-hmm. And then we will line up, you know, their second and third toes with their sit bones, with their knees up to their sit bones in that hook lying position, with their shoulders down and their palms flat, and their neck nice and straight, and hopefully they're comfortably aligned. And then we will look at their pelvic alignment. Are they able to get into a neutral pelvic position? And we specifically look at the ASIS, bony landmarks on the front of the pelvis, and the pubic symphysis parallel in the frontal plane. So basically, between your pubic symphysis and your two ASIS, when you're lying in that position, is it completely parallel to the surface that you're on? If they're tucked under, the pubic symphysis is going to be too high. If they're tucked forward, it's going to be too low. So we want to try to get them into that neutral position. Once they're in that position, we go through the breathing pattern again. So how does the ribcage breathing affect the pelvis? We identify that, and then we teach them an exercise, which we call grounding, where they are going to bring their awareness into the bottom of their feet. They're going to bring their awareness into the back of their pelvis, and then as they breathe in, they're going to just increase that awareness of where they're in contact with the mat, and then as they breathe out, they're going to draw their navel towards their spine without their pelvic alignment changing. So a lot of people will tend to go into a posterior tilt when they draw their belly button to their spine. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural, oh, draw it in. So we really go through just being aware of drawing that navel in without the spinal position changing. Once we establish that, so we're going to have them draw it in. They hold it for 2 to 3 seconds. We will then take them through a series of muscle contractions just to kind of, again, increase awareness of the whole body while they're doing that exercise. So the grounding part of it is they'll press into the feet. They will draw their heels towards their sit bones without moving their feet. So you're creating an isometric hamstring contraction. They will draw their navel in towards their spine without their pelvic alignment changing. Become aware of their ribs. If they're flaring, they'll try to bring them in a little bit more. Lift the sternum and reach out of the top of the head and hold that position for about a 5-second count. And then they'll release everything again. And usually, when people are doing it right, you'll see the body hover a little bit, and then it'll relax down.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to not include a pelvic floor component on the very first time we teach them, because that can be a little bit too much input. Once the client has that grounding sequence down, we will add the pelvic floor lifting up prior to the navel drawing in towards the spine. And that's really our goal. But the very first time you teach someone, you don't want to give them too much input, or they're focusing too much on the Kegel and the pelvic floor, and then they're not quite, you're not able to quite appropriately assess whether or not they're getting that isometric transverse abdominis contraction.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, we are out of time for this episode. But Dawn Marie Ikes, you have just been great. Is there any way I could talk you into staying over for another episode? And because we didn't even get into some of the other things that you are doing that are unique in your clinic.
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure.
Okay. Well, then, listeners out there of PT Talker, we've got Dawn Marie Ikes coming back next week. She'll be with us for more about Pilates and, can I say, gyrotonics? Is that the right way to put it, Dawn Marie?
Gyrotonics.
Okay, gyrotonics. So if you want to know about those two things, tune in again next week, because this is Jeff Worrell for PT Talker, saying thank you very much for joining us this week. And as you know, this is the place to come for news and information just for physical therapists. And I will talk to you all next week. Tune in to PT Talker.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.